found that in order to get full coverage on YouTube, you have to have copyright-free music, because I'm all about getting that bag. You cannot get monetized. If you have anything that resembles possible copyright infringement. Therefore, I had to change my intro. Hey, y'all. This is 2022, a new year, a new time for podcasting. And I had to get a funky beat to basically express what I want to put out in the atmosphere. And this is Tenfro. I'm back again. I'm a social critic, thought leader, but I'm more reclusive than cranky. But I want to read, watch, cook, and just share all things that make me happy. My wish is that this increases the curiosity of the listening audience to come back for more and to share with friends. I want 1 million unique listeners and downloads. I want creative quality Millie to be known around the world. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. So if you're listening to me on YouTube, click subscribe. Tip a sister. And I just want to thank you guys for listening. And enjoy and get your bop on. Copyright free. I think it's apropos that I am able to record my thoughts on First Lady because still this week is a carryover spotlight Viola Davis. My goal is to plan on, I want to listen to her memoir in total before I even get the heart back. It seems like you have to have the ability to interview someone on their front porch in Maui before you can get an advanced copy of that book. I'm just saying, if it sounds player hater, it really is. But there's been a lot of controversy. I don't know if it's rightfully so, with Viola Davis's portrayal of Michelle Obama. Everyone considers her forever FLOTUS, First Lady of the White House of the United States. And it's annoying that as the producer and one of the stars and representative of the first and only African-American First Lady of the United States, her performance has become the epitome of a meme, and she can't, I don't know if she may or may not live it down, but I don't know if we're off to a good start, because one of the stills associated with it on Amazon is her standing next to the actor Barack Obama, and her lips are pursed. So I don't know. I know they can't reshoot it, but nobody thought before this was published or released that somebody should have said something. Because as the scenes wrap, they have as the ability, they say, they do a playback before it even goes to finals. So y'all didn't think, no one thought to tell this woman to stop pursing your lips and sucking on your teeth that much. I just can't believe that. Literally, she has become a caricature, and she embodies her characters. This is Viola Davis. She embodies her characters, but then this just went kind of left. It was just an overdue. Is that the only thing that she wanted to focus in on? She could have just focused in on how eloquent Michelle spoke and some of the words that she says because they were the bomb. But she didn't have to pick up and focus on these mannerisms because I think it's distracting from her portrayal. And it's sad because she is the GOAT. Viola Davis is one of the best actresses of all time. But I'm going to pause here and look at through her performances in this episode of First Ladies and see if the two white girls outshine her. Just saying. How sad is that? They get accolades for their portrayal of a drunk and not out possible lesbian, and her performance is going to go down to the meme of the century. That's a little crazy, don't you think? Oh girl, this was a miss. From the walk, I don't know if it is Viola actually has a walking cadence that does not mimic the elegance strut of Michelle Obama. But I went back and we got the tapes. YouTube is great for many things, even though it could be annoying in others. She does not purse her lips for emphasis. When she was on the campaign trail times two, when she was talking at the 2020, the 2019 Democratic Convention. She doesn't do these mannerisms. Where did she get that from? Is that the most thing that stuck out in her head? Because I just, wow, holy crap. Maybe it was a miss. And they very much are distracting, those mannerisms and things that she's doing. Welcome to another episode of Quarks Bar, hosted by me, Tenfro. I am recording this portion of the episode from my front room on Forest Avenue. This is another creative quality Millie production. And I wanted to basically have some type of representation of as I react to the shows that I watch. For example, I watch a lot of trash TV. And there seems to be a lot of trash TV available for the watching. I have commented on Viola Davis's performance in her production called First Ladies. And I have completely and unabashedly, make sure that curl got out there. Anyways, make an unabashedly annoyed by her portrayal of Forever FLOTUS, Michelle Obama. I've commented on that on my podcast, but I'm also intrigued by many other shows that are coming on. If you watch this episode, please don't forget to hit subscribe. Whether you watch this as part of premium content by Anchor FM, or if you see this video on YouTube. That's how I get my street cred, and that's how I can make it's a stream of income. So don't forget that. But as I was saying, I commented on her performance and those lips, the pursing of the lips and the sucking of the teeth. It's probably unconscious tick of Forever FLOTUS, but she doesn't do it as much as the 950 million times that Viola did it in that portrayal. I think she could have done better without the lips. Also, in addition to watching that, Michelle Pfeiffer and that other chick did really well. I thought I was pretty impressed with their portrayal of Eleanor Roosevelt and Betty Ford. It just would have made sense that the best portrayal would have been by the black chick that played Forever FLOTUS and that actually produced that shit. So, I don't know. So now I'm recording while I'm watching, and I wanted people to watch me react to 90 Day Fiancé. Now, for most people that know me, I have been a fan of 90 Day Fiancé since Amphisa and Jorge. Jorge is a guy that served multiple time because he was transporting tons of grass or marijuana, I think, across state lines. He had, I don't know if she was Russian or if Amphisa was even Ukrainian, but she basically, he brought her over here, had plied her with the expensive trips and presents, and then their relationship basically unraveled before our eyes on 90 Day Fiancé. I've watched every iteration of it, from The Other Way, the one with Sean, Diaries, Single Life, and this is the, oh, and Darcy and Stacy, and this is the 90 Day Fiancé, like the ninth season. I picked up on it last week when they was the introduction, the introduction show. I already know that there are couples that I'm just not going to like. I'm not rooting for these MFers. I'm not rooting for Bilal and Shahida. Excuse me, y'all. I had to wake up my Apple TV. Sorry about that. But I'm not rooting for Bilal and Shahida because Bilal is a dumbass. Bilal, he's Orthodox, I believe Muslim. But he's bringing this girl over here without showing her anything that he has. And he already is effing up. What is the problem with her wanting not to live in a trap house and not for you to pick her up from the freaking airport in a cargo work van? Who does that? And why is it because now she's a gold digger because she's mad at you for bringing her from her home country to this BS? I can't root for that. I don't, your reasoning and your gaslighting this girl makes you look like the shady MFer that you are. And I'm not going to root for you on that. Nor am I rooting for this fool with pink cowboy boots and this white girl, I think, from Serbia, Miona. She mad because she hooked up with him because she wants to be and complete the circle of the Kim Kardashian of his all. But she hooked up with this broke brother from Montana. I can't make this crap up. And they probably have been already married. And this hoe is trying to emulate Kim Kardashian with dark foundation. I'm so tired. I'm so tired of people ripping off the beauty of and making a caricature of my culture for their own gains. I hope they drag this hoe as much from Twitter to everywhere else, because that's what she deserves. And this fool for getting on. And also, I'm kind of mad at TLC. You know these fools are doing this crap and you bringing it to us and you expect us to watch it, which we are, because it's all messy, it's all Get Out. And it's such difference from our reality of life. We are going to watch it, but we are going to fuss. But we're going to hold y'all accountable for this BS. I just watched 90 Day, the Ukrainian series, and that tore me up. The dude from North Carolina, his girl is still there. Natalie's mama is still there, and David's friend is still over there, which was kind of funny because David thought his 63-year-old old broke ass was going to be in the Ukrainian guard. That was funny. Y'all got to watch that too. So I'm going to pick back up with this fool this fool's take and preparing for this girl who is obvious, she really is a gold digger. And his friend, who's also a Serbian, is basically, they ain't with the BS, because he basically gave up all of his, he had this punk rock group and a best friend that all of them were telling him this girl ain't shit. And he's gonna have to learn. But they're buying in. They must be paying them a grip because nobody wants to live through this. So here's my reaction to the rest of 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, she's going to rock with these. This is very South Dakota right here. I think these are super fly. But, you know, to each his own. And then on top of that, I got her a little cowgirl hat, man. I think she'll be rocking with this.
A cowgirl hat.
I'm excited for her.
It's not a 10-gallon.
Conversations with David and my parents, all of their doubts and fears are starting to see.
Because none of them are with the bull.
I need to tune out all the outside noise because I need to stay confident about myself.
Confident that she's going to get up there and wow out like Larissa.
Damn, I'm a little nervous. I feel it. I feel the jitters a little bit, and I usually don't get nervous.
I'm also tripped out that he wears an awful lot of bright colors for somebody that's in South Dakota, not Montana, y'all. So is he non-binary or he's sexually fluid? I don't know, girl.
Crazy to me. It feels like I'm doing something crazy. Okay, I got this. But one of my favorite words.
He looks like a broke Chris. What's his name? But I hope he's not as abusive as Chris. I like his mouth though.
Looking like a fresh baby cowboy, flamingo. Got the glasses. I'm ready to go. Oh. Oh no.
Oh, and he just split his pants, which I think is hysterical.
Oh hell no. I ripped the pants. No.
Yep. He's getting ready to be late. Why were those pants so tight that you bend down and they pop? Girl. I don't know either because they were too tight, boy. You got too much booty. I don't understand why he didn't put the gifts in the car already, though. This can only get worse because I got like 35, 36 more minutes and I've been fussing like the whole part of the episode. I'm so sick of him. I'm so sick of Belial. Oh, the white girl going with the Venezuelan dude with the expired passport. I'm not rooting for them either because she don't know how to read the room. She ain't gonna like it. She gonna be like that dude, the Mormon dude from, and the broke ass girl from South America. It's gonna be the same shit. She gonna be heading back to Serbia because she said it herself. Why would I want to come to South Dakota when I could be, say, with my parents in Serbia? It would be the same thing. She wants to be in LA. She wants to take the place of Kim Kardashian. I feel like she want all that shit now and she don't care, bro. Fallacy. I do believe the hype on Twitter. I think they've already been married and TLC knew that, but showing her finally coming over here, it makes for better TV because they know it's messy and we gonna click on it. Oh, I'm not rooting for the underwear model and the fat white girl from Kansas either because I think this is BS. This was a one-night stand where the condom broke down and now they stuck with each other and he looking at her and she looking at him like a Scooby snack, but her big ass, he ain't gonna fly with that. He's gonna want the same body white girl that he met in China. He ain't gonna want fat mom body. I'm sorry. I know I'm fat. I'm fat. I've completely admitted. But she is under some realization that this fine boy that he hooked up with, he's gonna want what he had in China. And the reality is, this bitch had a kid, went back to home to Kansas, got her eat on, and she don't look the same. Girl, bye. I'm tired of all of these people. Your man, he had your man, your whole booty call, and you got knocked up, got caught out. Girl, I can't. This was a booty call gone wrong. You should have had stronger birth control. Stop it. No, he does not. He loved the hookup. But what he's fitting to get is Kansas mom bod. And he, Kansas mom bod, and he ain't gonna go for that. I can't. I hate these folks. Good luck with that.
I did tell Kobe that I wasn't going to bring Coben to the airport, but I did not tell him that I had plans for us to stay the night at the hotel. I feel really bad and selfish because he hasn't been around Coben before, but at the same time, Kobe and I need that one night together before I bring him home to meet everybody.
No, it's not, girl. It is not going to be fine.
He's about to land in 15 minutes. I'm super, super nervous right now. It's been 2 years. I'm freaking out.
Her legs even... Her knees not like mine do. Oh, that is so sad. I'm in like 14 minutes in and I'm still fussing. It is nothing but a train wreck, y'all. I am also of the average adage that all of these people on 90 days have some skewed version of what America is. This fat hoe, the lying hoe, the not... The broke hoes. None of these, this is not really America. It is only a part of your experience, but most Americans are not like these people at all on 90 Day. I know it wouldn't make for good reality TV, but it is such a skewed and not consistent version of what America is. For example, Kobe, probably named after Kobe Bryant. There are other white girls you could have waited out and been more than this and got caught out. I'm sorry that your condom slipped and you got caught up, but this is not, this homebred big bitch is not what America is.
My name is Kobe. I'm 34 years of age and I'm from Cameroon, Douala.
Yeah, girl. Yeah, child. Kobe, I'm sorry, bro. This is some bullshit.
I'm so happy you're here. Welcome to America.
Seeing Emily again for the first time after a very long time, I had this thing in mind, like, maybe it was going to be different.
But did she tell you how much weight she gained, though? Are you shocked? Because she looks like every other white girl in Tennessee. I don't know.
She's changed. She's getting weight.
Like he wasn't gonna notice. You got three chins. His teeth are straight. I bet he could rock it. Draws now underwear. But she is seriously not the same. Did she do filters? I can't. I just... Oh, y'all. My head is hurting. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Kara and Guillermo. The 23-year-old fine dude from Venezuela by way of the Dominican Republic. And the white girl from Charlottesville. I ain't vote for them either.
I have an expired passport. It's so stressful.
Because she don't know how. She's such a Karen. She does not know how to read the room. She keep making these jokes about his age. She sees it's uncomfortable for him. And she keeps going on. I hate her. Pulling up out of Punta Cana to go with this bitch in Charlottesville? What?
I have to say bye to my brother Christopher. I don't know, it's a little bit weird. Because it's feeling like so heavy. Because I'm going to USA and my family's not gonna be there.
Nope.
That's the part that makes me feel nervous.
Listo. At least she speaks the language though. She speaks very good Spanish.
From the
I like little dogs.
Is a totally different experience than going from Venezuela. Before, I was traveling to just run away from Venezuela, trying to get a new life. And now I'm following the love of my life. It's like a movie, like a movie.
It is, but I don't know if the outcome is going to be like a romantic movie, Guillermo. I'm just saying. And she's so digmatized that she is a girl. I can't. I'm not rooting for them either. And this is like the first time in 90-day history that I'm not rooting for any of these fools. Because I don't understand any of this. They all seem so fake, so forced, and so committed to clicks and cred online that is just stupid. I almost want him to get hemmed up at customs in the United States, even in spite of the Venezuela bullshit, because I think he could do better. Let's see. Does she have her papers in ready? They were detained. Of course they were detained. And now they just roll through. He wouldn't have gotten through. The thing is, he wouldn't have got through if she hadn't come and picked his ass up. She had to fly all the way there and come back. What? This almost makes me want to figure out what is going on in Venezuela at this point. I know about Brazil, but I don't really know about the demise of the support of what is going on with the Venezuelan government. I'll probably talk about that a little bit on my podcast because I'm very interested because their expat citizens can't even get their passports renewed to migrate somewhere else I don't know if they just want them to come back to Venezuela and starve to death, or they just want somebody else to lock them up so they don't have to deal with them. That makes me sad either way, you know? Oh, to fit into her lifestyle. Wow. She wants it to be smooth, but only if it fits into her lifestyle. Good luck with that, girl. Not rooting for y'all either. Oh my God, I want to support the native chick, Evie, 48, from Albuquerque. I can't. Y'all all make me sick. I can't. Y'all. America. I can't vote for any of these hoes. I want them all off the island. I'm just saying. Nah, girl. This Evie ho, her friends are talking. The squad is talking facts. I can't imagine changing so much and giving up so much a part of myself to be with somebody else because they wouldn't understand it. Who does that? Maybe that's why I'm not married. I don't got no kids. I'm just saying. But I feel that I can't root for somebody that is so willing to not be who they are to fit into some other dynamic. Who does that? And it's not gonna work. You try, and also, bitch, you're 49 years old. You tried this shit with your son's daddy. And it didn't work. So what is going to make you think this is going to work with somebody from a completely different culture as well as half your age? Good luck with that.
So it didn't look like I was directly coming after her.
I can't make this shit up. Jabari and this hoe from Serbia, I have no words. I'm tired of talking about them. This fool Belial is gaslighting this girl Shahida, and I would get back on a plane and go to back to wherever she's from because he's gaslighting her. What is going on? I would be just like her. I'm not even as pretty as she is. You can afford to order in? Would you pick me up in a dirty ass van? And you gonna, girl, bye. You take me to a place. Oh my God. What is this?
To kind of suits how he looks. You should have let me know this from day one. You should have let me know. You know, so I would have been able
spaghetti
to
and catfish that don't look like it's seasoned. And I'm tired. He's making me tired. He's making me tired. I would feel like I was deceived. You deserve all her venom because you played yourself and you played this girl. Fuck you. So I have some plans for this next section. It's called for Quark's Bar. I started and stopped producing premium content for my channel on Podbeam. Over a year ago, I believe, was my last time I posted anything about Quark's Bar. I'm planning on restarting it because now Anchor FM has a video podcasting. I think they're trying to get or hone in on YouTube's ability to podcast, to have video podcasts. My podcast itself is distributed across multiple platforms, including YouTube. My hope now is to offer this premium content specifically on Spotify and see how it goes from there. Spotify/Anchor and see how it goes from there. I just want people to produce something that people are going to want to listen to or watch and at the same time fulfill my creative need. This episode, I'm talking about Picard. I'm not so sure about this iteration of the Star Trek verse. The first thing I noticed when I turned over to Google, because I was looking up something for something else on the show, and unfortunately, they basically called, it said under like this Google search that Picard is trash. The iteration of one of the Star Trek drops is trash. I thought this is different than Discovery though, because even I thought they were trying too hard to be all inclusive, but I think they did a really good job. It was special effects as well as a great use of technology and as far as production value of that series. I don't think I saw, because maybe I wasn't looking all that hard, is them calling anything, especially with Jean-Luc Picard in it, trash. But you got to think that as I was watching it, one of the things that Patrick Stewart, when he finally got to hang up his comm badge, he went back to the stage and he had some other bit parts and big parts in other blockbuster movies. He wanted to move beyond that. He's a classically trained actor. He wanted to move beyond the small screen. Could never really shake it though. But why not lean into it if it gave you your bag? That's what I always say. However, this particular iteration of Star Trek basically is everything from the dramatic integrity that I believe that Patrick Stewart would want. But it is really none of the swashbuckling action that those of us that are Star Trek super fans are used to and desire. But I do love the actress that plays the young guy, and I'm completely obsessed with her. I love that Data is in his Miami-inspired mansion. The story itself is very circuitous and solid, and it comes back to the whole point of what is the point of them going back into the past when the past is over. They basically get hints of the Picard. This is completely spoilers. Picard actually is interrogated. He and, who is with them? The guiding character are branded space Chew. Aliens, and their interrogator was actually mind melded by when the Vulcans were actually interfering. Of course, there had to have been no prime directive and no and non-interference at this time, because it seems like the Vulcans, of all logical beings, would roll up on the illogical humanity, which I think that's just rich. He first interprets the encounter as hostile, but they use the mind meld to erase his memories. But he automatically went to the sinister and the ill will of it all. I don't know if I'm going to be as excited to see the next episode as I'm going to be excited to see them wrap this up. I don't think that Patrick Stewart anchoring this show at his age is giving what the Star Trek fans have come to desire. What they desire is action and intrigue and just messiness. And this is none of that. And it's kind of a snoozer. I hope they give an even bigger part to this new iteration of the Borg headed by that goofy blonde chick. I'm wondering how they're gonna stop her, but even that storyline is kind of a snoozer, so I don't know, y'all. But if you want to see just some mess, watching the young, famous, and African who are neither all that young and neither are they all that famous, but they are bougie and it does appear that they're living above their means. There is just so much Gucci and Hermes in these hot spots in South Africa, which is absolutely beautiful. Initially, the singer Annie is invited as a plus one, and she ends up offending the host at the top of the second episode. The host herself, I think her name is Kendaya, she actually says she has an open relationship, experimental relationship, and how she's raising her daughter. They live in this high-rise apartment, and the teenage daughter has an apartment right next door to her mother. I'm like, what, girl? This is some stupid goop white people shit. But who knows? Then there's Diamond Platinum and Naked DJ. They're so fake. And they're so Eurocentric. They're just selling vibes. And I've heard of none of these people. And it's just messy. Because all of them have baby mamas. And the messiest one, Platinum, wants to move on with somebody else in the group. But he's not really all that divorced or separated from his wife. Who the friend... who I thought was upstanding. He's just trying to move in on Diamond's former wife because they're all messy. He goes shopping with the wannabe paramour for Bentleys and Rollies, but they're all so opulent, so over the top, that it is just so hard to fathom that any of these people got this kind of scratch. You know what I mean? And Zari is in the middle of the mess. It is one of those shows that you binge watch and you have the same expression on your face all six episodes. Like, what the... But it is so messy that if you just want to detach, it's a great watch for whatever reason. So now we're getting into the COVID shenanigans of it all and the more ratchet part of the episode. This episode is getting long, so I guess I'll just get to it as far as getting the information out there. This is so different than how I've been feeling for the past several weeks as far as just any feeling of wanting create the podcast and go on with the podcast. And now, since I've gotten, I guess, my mojo and my talk back, I've come up with other ideas, like 10 fro shorts. I'll probably start doing some side-eye sidebars. And I also have started Quark's Bar again. And I basically put that back in the earlier part of the podcast. And I recently started that back up, but I needed to explain what Quark's Bar is. I'm a DS9 fan, and I have always thought that it did not get its props like the other franchises did. I loved Captain Sisko, even when he was as Hawk, bald hair, goateed. He basically established that look again in DS9 in subsequent years. I love the little starship that could. The Defiant is one of my most favorite ones. I like how they went into just being more inclusive with not just with people from different cultures and different races, but also a high instance of people, recognition of LGBTQ plus, and with a non-binary reoccurring actor they. I put it that way. I'm just, and also a transitioning trans actor. I am just overjoyed, and I'm also just overjoyed with the fact that I get to do all of this and make comments on all of this. And also Quark's Bar was, he was a Ferengi, that his place was, it was like 10 forward on Next Generation. And even in Neelix's, the gathering place, the restaurant on, that Star Trek Voyager. So all of these places to me, but didn't mean as much as Quark's Bar. And plus I like their symbol and the emblem, Jordan people, awesome. But I also wanted to make it a point going forward, because one of my most favorite newscasters said something that we're moving into the endemic phase of the pandemic. And I don't think you can't go into having an illness endemic if nobody's vaccinated and only 60% of people have had this shit. So the numbers are still high. A testament to that is VP Kamala Harris tested positive. She's completely asymptomatic and she got the oral treatment for it. And I'm hopeful that she's going to be able to self-quarantine, remain at home, asymptomatic, and she's not going to have any of the crazy nonsense like stroke out, heart attack, lose her legs, lose her hands, even though she did get treated. But I'm hopeful that her being vaccinated and boosted, that she will actually remain, not have no issues with it. And I'm also very scared that even though he's vaccinated and boosted, if old butt Joe Biden gets this, he could get very ill. As what's the general's name? Colin Powell, that passed away. He had been vaccinated, but I don't think he was boosted though. I'm hopeful that Joe Biden did get boosted. And I just realized, like today, for the last couple of days, I took my truck in to get service because I will be going back to Virginia this weekend to stay in town for a couple of weeks, because to tie up the business ends of my father's, what's left of his estate. The drive, I'm actually kind of looking forward to, because I think I can get some pretty good recording or just some thoughts recorded for upcoming writing assignments that I'm thinking about doing. But I also feel that if people here in Tennessee, and it was the same in Virginia, now that I'm getting out more, that everybody has seemed to forgotten that we are still in a pandemic. And I think people don't realize that we're still in the middle of a pandemic, and people don't realize just their flippant attitude is testament. Even with masks still, they don't really care if you wear a mask, and they're still in your face. They don't social distance. And I was like, bro, how? I know you probably are not vaccinated, and you in all in my face. And I'm thinking to myself, what if I get sick from this shit because you refuse to social distance? I still trip out about that. And again, this pandemic is not over. We are far from this disease being endemic, contrary to what the newscasters are saying. So back up off me, wear a mask, wash your hands, and get vaccinated and boosted. Just saying. Also, on a more ratchet note, is the double talk from McCarthy. He basically is backpedaling on all of his stance for the January 6th shenanigans. He did, because we got it on tape, bro. Strongly suggests that Trump resign, and he should have resigned. I mean, he caused, incited a riot. And you mean to tell me that they made Richard Nixon, who did even more, some other egregious crap, and Agnew, they are both criminals and will always be in infamy as criminals. You mean tell me his bitch ass couldn't resign? Girl, boy, bye. And then there's a Cawthorn, and he basically proved Blanche Devereaux from Golden Girls fame when she was dating an episode of Golden Girls. She basically cruised and picked up this guy in a lawyer or a sports agent in the library when she went with Dorothy. And she found out that dude was basically cheating on his wife. He was using her. And she said, you can still be a jackass in a wheelchair. But evidently, Representative Cawthorn, they call him a junior congressman from North Carolina, a chumper, basically got caught rolling dirty at TSA at Charlotte Airport. How you gonna carry a loaded nine? What exempts you from, everybody got knowledge that you're not supposed to carry loaded weaponry through TSA? Boy, but I can't. What do you think is gonna pop off? And what you gonna do? You wheelchair bound, bro. He ain't got no legs. That's like Forrest Gump. I recently watched that again. Lieutenant Dan, you ain't got no legs. He ain't got no legs, y'all. And he's still tripping. This is like some all over white people shenanigans. The doublespeak from McCarthy and this brother. Oh, I can't make this crap up. But on a happier note, I will basically quote the Viola. I am listening to an audible version of her book, Finding Her. And if you have to go through all of that to become as great as she is, I'll pass. But she did out country me with Over There and All of That and such, which was her mother's favorite saying from South Carolina. That she even out country me with my poop cherry tomatoes. That story I'm gonna leave you with. And also, Viola Davis does have a potty mouth, and I love it. She basically intertwines, and for emphasis, curse words, and she uses them very eloquently, which trips me out. I am finding that, one, I like her even more than I did when I started listening to the book, because it dropped yesterday on Audible, as well as the hard copy, which I think I'm still gonna have to get a copy of. But she took a lead from Will Smith, because as I told you in a previous episode, that Will Smith's will, his biography or his biography or he basically read it. And it was more of a multimedia performance. It was like an extended podcast. This is basically the same. And hearing it in her voice, it was just like Kevin Hart. When I was reading his book, I was doing it in his voice anyway. So now I get to actually hear them speak their truth and control their narrative. The 8-year and young Viola Davis lived through great abuse and depravity, as I said, and with all the rats, the bug, the bedwetting, the lack of personal hygiene, she persevered, and she became the greatest at what she was doing, because she really did not have a choice. If she wanted that life, she went for it in its fullest, and how great is that? Also, I will leave you with a story finally. So I used to work multiple hundreds of hours when I was at work for Dallas as a pediatric hospitalist. I would work the night shift. It was the 5 p to 8 a, sometimes 9 a. And we would just sit up and talk about our experiences and who was the most country. Well, for as long as I could remember, I always thought that some that cherry tomatoes could grow in the wild like blackberries. That was put, that fallacy or just downright lie was put to bed because back in Virginia Beach, Hampton Roads, the sanitation company, was fined for illegal release of sewage into these fields, or and that wasn't really raw sewage, but it was treated. When it goes, evidently, when tomato seeds transverses through, pretty much unchanged through the GI tract of humans, but if it is treated like sewage is, it basically strips off and it allows the seeds to germinate. And germinate they did. There were whole unrecorded or unrecognized these massive tomatoes that were growing in this field. So that's how we found out that Hampton Roads was illegally dumping sewage there. So I put two and two together when I read this story. When I found out that the reason my grandfather, that these cherry tomatoes were growing next to my grandfather's garage is because either he was taking a shit or he was dumping his shit next to his garage. I can't make this up. And we would just go pick and sprinkle a little salt and pepper and eat them like nothing was wrong. But evidently, that's all it takes, either a trip through the human GI tract being buried over there, and I guess the right kind of soil. Only thing I can think of, if he also threw lye on it to keep the stench down, that may have been what the treatment was to be able to process it. So then the tomatoes could then sprout up. As I said, I can't make this crap up, literally, but that's my story. That's my country story. But if you want to read more of how a country person can either do what Viola did or doing what I do now on a corporate stage, either listen more to read her book or listen to her Audible or continue to listen to my podcast, because girl, I got a million of these kind of country ass. So that's how we're going to end this episode, and I'm going to end it with a positive word. I used to scoff at people making this statement, because of its simplicity, or maybe because it sounded more like an admonishment that I was being everything but kind. But then when I started investigating it for myself, that's when I realized that I was confusing politeness with kindness. Politeness is a fake superficial manner in which there's no required investment, no self-reflection. But being kind is an adjective. It is an action. If you're kind to yourself first, it's like exercise memory. You will continue and be kind to others. Let that sit with you for a while. I'm going to try to be kind to myself. I'll be kind to others. It's very simple, and you got to repeat it. Lean into the spirit of a new year by counting your blessings, giving to others, and spreading happiness. I know I will. And this episode or this podcast is my means to spread joy and happiness and light and enlightenment. There's so much going on with aggression and just meanness. But if I can leave you with one small positive thought, start your day with that. That can change everything for you and just basically change your day. Don't forget to check out Dale's Angels Inc. for the notes on this podcast, as well as other works by CQM and other contributors that are in work or in being edited right now. Also, check out my Instagram feed, Tenfro is Reading. You can check me out on Facebook, Tenfro is Reading Book Club, as well as my YouTube channel, Tenfro is Reading and Eating. and what I'm just chatting and streaming at TV Food Wine Girl on Twitter. Navigate to Writer's Block Coffee or shipabagofdicks.com. Use my promo code 10fro coffee or 10fro got jokes respectively to get a percentage off of your order. Don't forget to drop me a line at 10frowasreading@gmail.com. All non-trolling messages may be actually read online, and you can do the same if you are in Podbean or Anchor or wherever you listen to the podcast. And again, shedding light and positivity. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode as much as I've enjoyed creating it. Until next time, bye.